Our gospel comes from the 12th chapter of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There, they gave him a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was the one at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that it might be kept for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This last week, I asked a few friends at home and here in church if they could name for me some leading actresses that we know from film. So leading actresses that we see in movies today. Some of the names that were mentioned: Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep, Julia Roberts, Kate Winslet, and Reese Witherspoon. Now, when I ask you this, you might think of other people's names, and that's okay. There are many actresses out there. But all of these leading women that I have just mentioned, most of us who are good at watching movies, when we hear their names, we can think of the movies that they're well known for. So when I say Jennifer Lawrence, what movie comes to mind? Hunger Games. Good. You're playing along the way I was thinking. That's dangerous doing this. If I say Julia Roberts, you might think Pretty Woman. Good. We're two for two. And if I say Kate Winslet, what movie do you think of? Titanic. Perfect. These women are very talented at having a leading role in acting. They've worked very hard and deserve the position and title that they received for those movies. I think it's also very powerful for younger girls to see women in leadership roles and not just men having all of these roles in movies. In most of these movies, all of them that we named did perfectly fine in the box office because women had these roles. This last week, Tuesday, March 8th, marked International Women's Day, which is a day to celebrate the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women around our world. So looking beyond movies and entertainment, we get to celebrate and see women in leadership roles in Fortune 500 companies as roles of CEO and CFO in major positions. We continue to urge for fair and equal pay for women in the workplace. One of our current Democratic nominees for president is a woman. So we celebrate the achievements and roles that women play in our lives today, but we still have work to do. And I begin today by stating that I am an advocate for women's rights, for better listening on behalf of men, not just in the workplace, but also within the church. Today I would like to focus a little bit closer on a disciple of Jesus who listened and quite possibly understood maybe what the rest of the group didn't get or understand. Normally, when we talk about the disciples of Jesus, most of us would think of 12 men who followed him around for a couple of years. Most of us also have words that we associate with some of these men, similar to the way that we said a woman's name and we could name their movie. When I say Thomas, most of us associate the title Doubter, even though he was also known as the twin. When I say Peter, some of us associate the word rock or denial. And when I say Judas, some of us associate the word betrayer or theft or thief, or you can fill in the blank because of words that were surrounded by him in today's gospel reading. Today, I would like us to spend some time with Mary, a disciple of Jesus who played a major role in today's gospel, even if she wasn't a disciple in the traditional sense. Today, we can find ourselves in a home in the Jerusalem suburb of Bethany, where Jesus stopped by because he has some friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who live there. We are told that Jesus loves them, that they love him and call him Lord, which means they see him and follow him. They're close friends, and they are excited to have their friend present. Just days before, the two sisters, Mary and Martha, had reached out to Jesus because their brother, Lazarus, was sick. By the time Jesus shows up, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. He goes to the tomb, asks for it to be opened, and Jesus says, "Lazarus, get up." And Lazarus comes out of the tomb. People were really noticing Jesus. The leaders in the temple knew that they were going to have to kill him because his followers were growing. By raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus was growing from a street preacher to a serious threat to the authorities. But for today, in our gospel reading, Jesus and his disciples are gathered in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, just a few days after this incident, and they're sitting at the table for dinner. This is where Mary breaks some cultural norms at dinner. First, Mary lets her hair down. And in this time and in this culture, this is something that an honorable woman would not do. Again, this was before International Women's Day, so women's rights were not very far at this time. In that time and place, it was also taboo for a man to be touched by a woman, especially to one he was not married to. So what Mary does next probably made people in the room uncomfortable. Finally, women in that culture did not anoint men. Only a man could anoint a man. So here, Mary, a woman, anoints Jesus. For her to anoint Jesus is the same as one who would be sitting at the feet of their teacher, one who sat at the feet of their rabbi, making her a disciple. Here's a quick note. The title Messiah, the word Messiah in Hebrew, means the anointed. So when a naming happened, when an anointing happened to a king, they anointed him Messiah by pouring oil all over his head, naming him and anointing him. So here Jesus is anointed, given power by a woman from the countryside, from a working class family and friend, the follower of Jesus. Mary names Jesus the Messiah, this disciple. So why does this story matter so much? Most people confuse this story anyways with the three other times a story that's kind of similar is told, each in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew and Luke, there's an unnamed woman who does this towards the end of Jesus' life. And then in the third story, in Jesus' ministry, it happens very earlier in Jesus' ministry, when Jesus was eating supper, a well-known sinner breaks into the room, cries over Jesus' feet, and then drops to the ground and cleans his feet with her hair. Only in John's gospel, in John's version, does this woman receive a name, Mary, the leading role for Mary. And Mary has an authentic relationship with Jesus. She is not a stranger or an outcast or a well-known sinner, but she is a longtime friend and a true disciple, a student and follower of Jesus. Just a side note, there are many times in our Bible when women are not named. Do any of you know the name of Noah's wife? Noah's wife. The same is for Cain's wife, Lot's wife, Job's wife, Ezekiel's wife, Pilate's wife, the widow at Nain, and again, the three women in these stories, and many more instances throughout the Bible. Women are forgotten and not named. So something important is happening here when a character is named. They're saying she's more than just a woman. There's points and a purpose to who Mary is. Her name matters. And for the other disciples that are gathered there, these men, what do they think of this act? Well, they think it's extravagant and excessive that she's gone too far, as Judas is quick to proclaim. He says that perfume could have been sold and the money could have been used and been given to the poor. Jesus replies, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." And as confusing as this sounds, after having years of the disciples follow Jesus, watching him teach and preach and share God's love, Jesus is once again showing them that to be a disciple, a follower, it is more than the cultural norms of just being in the good old boys club, of having your only qualification be that you are mailed and always belonging. Rather, what Jesus is saying here is leave her alone. She's not your property or someone who only bears children. She is a disciple. He doesn't have a problem being anointed by a woman, by having her hair down, or having her play a key role in the kingdom of God. In short, the kingdom of God, women are equal to men on all levels. All are welcomed. Mary, disciple of Jesus, anoints him. But there's one more really important fact that I feel is going on here that we should point out. Mary had the choice here when she had the perfume in her hand, and she could have anointed Jesus by pouring the perfume on his head and anointing him king. And this is exactly what all of the disciples wanted her probably to do. They wanted Jesus to come, be their king, to enter Jerusalem and overtake Rome. But Mary didn't do that. Instead, she poured out the perfume on his feet, which can only mean one thing: dead man walking. Because the only people who had ointment put on their feet were the dead. Mary listened. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her finish delivering this message." Mary knows where Jesus must go next, because what follows in this text is the next day, which is the text that we will read next weekend for Palm Sunday, where Jesus continues by entering Jerusalem. And a few days from that story, we observe Holy Week, where we journey toward the cross together. Mary knew this because she listened. And as crazy as it might sound, Mary's role as a disciple, as a female disciple, was to show others what was next. And this is the way that our God works, through unexpected people doing unexpected things in extraordinary ways. People expected a disciple to be a man, but God has always worked through women as well. People expected a Messiah to look like a king, like David. But God shows up through the son of a carpenter that looked like a street preacher. The crowds who welcomed Jesus on Palm Sunday expected Jesus to overthrow the Romans, but instead, Jesus was crucified by them. And even there, many who saw this happen expected for this to be the end. And we all know our Easter message is just the beginning. And this is exactly how our God works and moves within our world in unexpected ways. Dear people of God, our God regularly shows up through people like you and me. And so this evening, I'd like to invite you just to take a moment to look around. Look around here. You might see your wife, your husband, your parents, maybe your children. Maybe you will see a friend or a stranger. Look at them and try to imagine the awesome things that God will do through them this week and throughout their life. And then what about through you? When you see yourself in the mirror every day as a named and claimed child of God, a disciple of Jesus the Messiah, God may be about to use you in new and surprising ways as well, to care for your neighbor, to offer a listening ear, to stand up for the less fortunate, to overcome peer pressure in your school or work, to name someone and give them life and value and worth. And so as we go out into our world, we go looking for all the ways that God is using people like you and me to do extraordinary things, both men and especially women, followers of Jesus, disciples, just like Mary. God shows up through our worship and our prayers in our meal together. God shows up through the ways that we support and love one another, through the ways that we care for all people and the world that God has loved so much. Dear people of God, remember always that God is doing unexpected things and using people just like Mary, the disciple of Jesus, who anoints Jesus today, that God is also using you. That you are a blessing to our church and our world, and that God is working through men and women like you and me. Thanks be to God. Amen.